The Rockets fall to the Heat on the second night of a back-to-back. Just not enough gas in the tank to keep it going against Miami. Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green continue their impressive play from the win against the Memphis Grizzlies. They carry that into this game against the Miami Heat. Just not enough to get to the finish line, though. Alperen Şengün looks really good in his sixth NBA career start. Josh Christopher and KJ Martin doing some heavy lifting off the bench. We're going to break it all down for you right here at Locked On Rockets.
This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
With the second pick in the 2021 NBA Draft, the Houston Rockets select Jalen Green.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep getting better every day. I'm going to keep perfecting my craft. And every time I step on that floor, I'm coming.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and also host of Locked On NBA Mondays. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin and the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets. Now, today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Check out prizepicks.com and use promo code NBA or go to your app store and download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. As always, we appreciate you for making Locked On Rockets first listen each and every day. Now, let's dive into this game. Second night of a back-to-back for the Houston Rockets. I mean, a competitive game against Miami Heat. More competitive than I thought it was going to be for the Eastern Conference leading Miami Heat. But the Rockets eventually fall 123-106. This was a game where the Rockets were very much in this game. Tyler Herro had a huge second quarter in this one to pull the Heat just ahead, you know, by the halftime margin. But ultimately, this was one where you look at just the dynamics at play here, right? Second night of a back-to-back, Rockets are missing Christian Wood. They're missing Eric Gordon. They're missing Dennis Schroeder. And Garrison Matthews rolls his ankle early in the game and tries to come back and just doesn't look like himself whatsoever. The Rockets were undermanned, understaffed, and they put up a good fight against the Miami Heat, but ultimately the physicality of the Miami Heat kind of won out, and you could see that the gas tank was running a little empty for this Rockets team, especially I think for Jalen Green, KPJ. They just didn't have enough juice left in the tank to close this one out, despite starting the game really, really hot from the floor. They had a couple great games, especially to start this one. Alperen Şengün looked really good in his sixth career NBA start. And then off the bench, we got KJ Martin and Josh Christopher putting in some work. It was great to see Josh Christopher kind of break out of his slump. Going to talk about that in a little bit. And then Dacian Nix also got some non-garbage time minutes, which was exciting to see for a lot of Rockets fans. So where I want to start, though, is just Jalen Green. The huge first quarter that Jalen Green had, 14 points, 5 of 8 shooting in the first quarter. It really did feel like we were kind of headed for a special night with Jalen Green. You know, he drilled the first three. Okay. Next three. Okay. Hits the third three. Okay. Like you're kind of, you know, hyping yourself up thinking this is going to be an insane night from Jalen Green, that he's going to carry, you know, the game over that he had from the Memphis Grizzlies game into this one. And he kind of did that, but he was so quiet after the first quarter. You know, yeah, the 14 points on 5-8 shooting in the first quarter was impressive. The Rockets got off to a really strong start against the Heat. KPJ also looked really good in the opening quarter, but then Jalen checked back in. I mean, I don't know, like 6-7 minutes to go in the second quarter, and only attempted one shot in the second period, and it was blocked by Bam Adebayo. So, and with no Christian Wood in this game, with no Eric Gordon in this game, with no Schroeder, like, you know, the three vets, you know, vets, quote unquote, throwing Christian Wood into that mix, you know, they're not there as far as, you know, interrupting or disrupting any, you know, perceived shot hierarchy or anything like that. So, you know, this is one of those where I've harped on this a little bit, but at times Jalen becomes passive on the floor. He doesn't, you know, he's not aggressively looking to continue to score the basketball. And that's kind of what I felt like happened, especially there in that second quarter. You know, Jalen didn't continue to carry over the, you know, mentality that he had in that first quarter into the second frame. you know, there's no reason that, as you know, Jalen Green is the number two overall pick with so many of the other guys out of the lineup, there's no reason that you should only attempt one shot in the second quarter. Now, the way that the Miami Heat were guarding the Rockets and Jalen Green in general, they were really packing the paint. They were making things difficult. They were playing physical. I mean, there's a reason the Miami Heat are the number one seed in the East. They play a tough, tough brand of basketball. And you could tell that, I mean, like, you know, it was a physical game. Guys were really having to work for their shots. I mean, you look at the lineup that they have thrown out there, Adebayo, Butler, Lowry, like, just that is a gauntlet of guys that you've got to fight through defensively to try and make anything happen. And especially when they're packing the paint, when they're dropping so low, and when the Rockets as a team were only shooting 13 of 43 from behind the arc, just a smidge over 30%, it makes it really easy to kind of game plan against you. So I was impressed and encouraged by the, you know, start to the game for Jalen Green. It looked like he was kind of headed for a special night, and he still had a couple, you know, had a couple spots later in the game, had some nice finishes, you know, whatnot, but he missed the rest of his threes. Like, he started 4-4 from three, and then he missed the next six. So there's a lot of, you know, volatility in Jalen Green's three-point game right now, where he can be really, really hot, or he can be really, really cold. And that's one of the main things that I'm hoping he's going to be able to iron out this offseason and become a more reliable three-point shooter going into next season, and less of a streaky three-point shooter. Because when he's on, I mean, man, he is on. And it's, you know, it's basically impossible to guard him, because then he's got the driving ability, get downhill, get to the rim, finish, all of that. But then if he's got the shot going as well, he's impossible to guard. But in this game, right, had the shot going in the first quarter, it completely abandoned him the rest of the game. And then not only that, but he abandoned kind of the aggressive mentality, you know, at least in that second quarter. He kind of came back to it a little bit in the third, but his shot wasn't falling at that point, whether he was cold, out of rhythm, whatever. Like, that caused an issue, because then he wasn't able to take advantage the way that he was in that first quarter. So I was impressed by the start from Jalen Green. I want to see more consistency from him, though, right? Because it was a cool first quarter, but then, you know, 14 points in the first quarter, only 6 points the rest of the way on, what, 3 of 8 shooting? Yeah, 3 of 8 shooting. So not, you know, a great sign there. And then also no free throw attempts for Jalen Green in this game. The Rockets as a team, just 22 attempts in this one, a bit lower than we're used to seeing for the league-leading team in free throw attempts. The Miami Heat doing a really good job of contesting and not fouling. Maybe some no calls here and there because of just the way that the Heat play their physical brand of defense. But overall, you want to see Jalen Green be able to be aggressive and assertive and getting to the free throw line, right? Because that's where he's able to make some easy money, is getting into the teeth of the defense, forcing the issue, and, you know, be it, you know, leaning, searching for contact, that kind of thing. That's kind of the next step in his game, is, you know, getting that outside shot consistent, and then also learning how to utilize his speed, not just to get to the rim and get those easy buckets that we've seen him, you know, start to collect more, you know, with more frequency as of late, but also initiating contact and creating, you know, forcing the issue for the referee to where that he can get to the free throw line. And hopefully that's something we see out of him more next season, after he bulks up a bit this offseason, gets into the weight room, that kind of thing. But coming up, so many other guys that I want to talk about from this game specifically. We're going to get there after a quick message from our friends over at Prize Picks. Because look, if you're looking for a daily fantasy option for the NBA, you need to check out the award-winning app Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. It's so simple. You pick 2 to 5 players and an over-under on their projections, and you can win up to 10 times back on any entry. That's just you versus the projected numbers. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. Prize Picks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Look, and right now, for a limited time, Prize Picks has an exclusive no-brainer of an offer for all of our viewers. You can get $50 for free if a player in your first Prize Picks entry scores just a single point. That's 1 point. All you got to do is use promo code NBA. That's an exclusive offer exclusively for Locked On listeners, Locked On viewers. Use code NBA for $50 for free starting today. If just one player in your first Prize Picks entry scores just a single point. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, appreciate you for making Locked On Rockets your first listen each and every day. For your next listen, be sure to check out the Locked On Now podcast, nightly recaps of every NBA game with analysis from our local experts, free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Now, back into this game, Rockets against the Heat. Kevin Porter Jr. also got off to a pretty strong start and kind of carried that momentum over into the second quarter, which is why it was so disheartening at the very end of the second quarter to see Kevin Porter Jr., you know, the inbounds pass happens and it, like, whatever happened to him happened kind of off camera, unfortunately, but he comes limping up the basketball court and you hear, you know, Craig Ackerman and Ryan Hollins there. Oh no, 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 no. You know, worried that there was a, you know, a severe injury for KPJ. And it looked like, I mean, he was very, very hobbled. You know, looked like it was that repeat ankle injury that he's been dealing with, and he stayed in the game. I mean, you know, he was hobbling up and down the court, and then going into halftime. I didn't expect to see him back in the second half, but we did. Surprisingly, I guess, you know, he's young. You know, he's made of rubber. So, but this was one of those games where, again, KPJ carried the momentum like Jalen Green from the Memphis Grizzlies game into this one, just didn't carry it past that first half. I think you could really tell this game was weighing on the Rockets, especially there in that third quarter, putting up just 20 points as a team. The Miami Heat really kind of closing the valve on the Rockets, making life so difficult for them. Just not enough left from KPJ and Jalen Green, who both played a heavy load and played a big role in the win just the night prior against the Memphis Grizzlies. But KPJ looking really good in this one, continuing his scoring. The playmaking wasn't quite there in this one, like, and maybe that's just, you know, because, you know, the ball was moving and so other guys were the ones racking up the assists. It wasn't for lack of trying from KPJ. Like, he was doing a good job, you know, initiating the offense. The pace was absolutely in favor of the Rockets in this game. I mean, they were rocketing, pun fully intended, up and down the court, you know, especially in the first half of this game. And I felt that's when the game started to kind of get away from them, especially in that third quarter, was the Rockets were just not running. They weren't getting into transition. They weren't doing what they do best. And again, a big part of that's second out of back-to-back, and you're just playing against a tough physical team in the Miami Heat that is going to grind you down into dust, essentially, with all their tough physical players they've got. And the Rockets just weren't getting out and running, which is their skill, their strength, right? They've got young guys who want to get out in transition, who want to run and, you know, wear down the other team in that way. But when you're through six quarters of basketball within 24 hours, it's a bit tough. And that's a heck of a flight from Houston all the way over to South Beach, you know, to make that trip and then to be ready to play the very next night and to be down as many guys as the Rockets were. Unfortunately, their rotations were a little, I don't know, askew, for lack of better terminology. You know, at one point, you know, they were running Adacian Nix, Josh Christopher, David Nwaba, KJ Martin, and Jayshon Tate lineup, which, I mean, that's a lineup that can, you know, they're getting after it defensively, sure, and offensively, everybody on that lineup can drive and kick and create for somebody else. But I believe there were a couple possessions in a row where that lineup specifically, it was like drive and kick, drive and kick, drive and kick, drive and kick, drive and kick until there was like 4 seconds left on the shot clock. And then it wound up being like a rushed shot from somebody because nobody was like, there were no shooters in that lineup was the frustrating part, right? There was nobody that was actually going to, you know, take the shot. You had a lot of guys who could drive and kick and slash and create for another guy on the floor. But the Miami Heat were just like, okay, I guess they're just going to keep driving and kicking and nobody's going to actually take the shot until the shot clock winds down. It was kind of frustrating to see because you'd think maybe especially in a game like this, you could stagger KPJ, Jalen Green a little bit more so that there's at least one guy to kind of really steer the offense out on the floor, or one guy that's going to be the quote unquote like bucket getter on the floor or the shooter. And I think it was like right after a couple of those back-to-back possessions where you could tell that the offense was getting super clunky and mucked up with those five guys. Steven Silas like throws Garrison Matthews back in the game because he had to have some kind of shooting out there. But unfortunately, Gary Bird just not himself in this game, missed all five of his shots, just played the 20 minutes, had one assist, two steals in his stat line, a couple fouls. I mean, just, you know, not a great game from Gary Bird. You could really tell even when he came back that ankle was still bothering him, unfortunately. But KPJ offensively still has it going. Would like to see him be able to rack up some of those assists, you know, like he normally does. So that's been part of the game that over these past two games now, we haven't seen a ton of because he's been so heavily focused on scoring the basketball. And that's the big part. That's the big learning curve for him is how do you balance being the scorer and being the playmaker, being the facilitator, getting guys involved. And I think that, you know, we saw that a little bit with Alper and Şengün, who got his sixth career start and had a solid game, but didn't have a monster game. And a big reason for that, I feel like, is because the Rockets, you know, and Jalen Green and KPJ specifically didn't do a great job of putting him into positions to be successful offensively to where they could rely on him to kind of create his own down low. He had 11 shot attempts. So he was 5 of 11 from the floor, missed his only three ball. It was 3 of 6 at the free throw line. Alpi's got to, you know, work on the free throw shooting just like the rest of this Rockets team. But I jokingly commented at one point that, you know, is the starting position for the Rockets this season just cursed to be a bad free throw shooter? You know, I guess maybe that's the case, but 13 points, 8 boards, 3 assists, you know, just another night at the office for Alpi, but he didn't get too many opportunities to post up and to really abuse the Miami Heat defense, unfortunately. And he had a lot of success when he, in the very rare occurrences where he was able to really post up down low and get going on the low block. But overall, that's got to be what KPJ does, right? Is when you've got LP out there, you've got to run the offense through him for stretches of the game, right? That'll allow Jalen and KPJ to kind of get their legs back under them, catch their breath a little bit. And they didn't run it through LP nearly enough, I felt like, in this game. Bam's a great defender, absolutely. PJ Tucker, another solid defender. But LP has shown time and time again that he can get his against pretty much anybody in the association. If he can make Giannis Antetokounmpo have to foul him on the low block, he can get it against anybody in the NBA. And they just didn't do a good enough job, I feel like, in this one of dumping the ball down low and letting Alpi kind of go to work and creating some of those inside out opportunities, right? You hear Ryan Hollins talk about it a lot on the broadcast where sometimes this Rockets team just devolves into offense where they're just, you know, boom, boom, boom on the perimeter. KPJ, Jalen Green trying to break somebody down on the perimeter and they're not really getting anything inside and kind of collapsing opposing defenses and then kicking it out and getting the defense scrambling and rotating. And that's exactly what Alpi does. Because if you don't send a second defender to Alpi to double team him on the low block, he's probably going to force the defender that is guarding him to foul him, or he's going to get it easy two at the rim. Like, that's just how it works. So you get the ball inside to Alpi. He does his magic. He either pulls a second defender to him and he's going to find the open man, and then you get the defense scrambling, or he gets his, you know, gets his points at the rim. Rockets didn't utilize that weapon in their toolkit enough in this game, I felt like, which is kind of a weird, you know, situation considering the fact that when Christian Wood plays, they constantly are looking for him on switches and to get him, you know, the ball in the post and all that. So, you know, different mentality, different dynamic towards Alpi, but he is arguably more effective than Christian Wood in the post and with those mismatch opportunities. So I would have liked to see them utilize him a bit differently in this game. And that could have helped kind of coast, you know, help them pull away or help them stay in the game, I should say, in that third quarter when the Miami Heat defense really started, you know, hunkering down and making life difficult for this Rockets team. But coming up, still some more names that I want to talk about from this game. Dacian Nix getting some non-garbage time minutes. Josh Christopher breaking out of his offensive slump. And KJ Martin continues to be a one-man wrecking crew off the bench. But first, a quick message from our friends over at Built Bar, because look, when it comes to protein bars, you've got to check out Built Bar. They are the number one protein bar on the market. They're so delicious, so incredible. Every single bar coated in 100% delicious chocolate. They've got so many great flavors to choose from: raspberry, strawberry, cookies and cream, mint brownie, peanut butter, my personal favorite, coconut brownie chunk. You can't go wrong with a single bar on their menu. Every bar is low cal, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Amazing if you're on a keto diet. Amazing if you're trying to cut back a little bit, lose a little bit of weight. You could check them out. Just go to built.com and use promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your very next order of the best tasting protein bars on the market. Again, that's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Appreciate you for making Locked On Rockets your first listen each and every day. For your next listen, go check out Locked On NBA. Locked On experts covering the biggest stories around the NBA every Monday through Friday in less than 30 minutes, free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Now, storyline on the Heat side of things from this game. You had obviously former Rockets legend PJ Tucker going up against the Rockets, but then you also had Victor Oladipo, who checked into this game and was greeted by, you know, raucous applause, and people were so stoked to see him. And I'm scrolling the timeline and people are saying, why are the Miami Heat fans cheering for Oladipo? And somebody else chimes in because they don't realize he's washed yet. And that was funny. No, it was good to see Vic back out there, right? He's a guy who's been, trying to rehab that quad for so long. You know, I want to see him be able to have some success. Just not against the Houston Rockets. He had a dunk in this one, you know, to cap off his little 15-minute night. And the crowd went absolutely bananas when he, you know, landed that driving dunk. But it's just good to see him back out there on the floor, you know, part of the former wow factor. And the other part of the wow factor, John Wall on the Rockets bench, which was kind of a trip to see since he's been, you know, working out and staying in Miami, showed up, posted up on the Rockets bench. Rockets were missing so many guys. It was like, hey, man, let's just, you know, see if Wall wants to, you know, treat it like a pickup game. Just throw him in the mix. No, I kid. But let's go KJ Martin here, because KJ had a really solid game. 14 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, 5 of 6 shooting off the bench, 33 minutes played. Really solid overall night for KJ Martin. Had a block mixed in there too. But the thing that's really stood out to me in these recent few games for KJ Martin, kind of post All-Star break, his driving looks so much better. Like KJ Martin's obviously like freak of nature athletically. Like he's, you know, so athletic, can jump out of the gym, all of that. We haven't really necessarily seen like a quick, I guess, first step from KJ Martin, like up until this point, but it really feels like he's utilizing that first step a lot better. Like on, you know, swing passes around the perimeter, he catches the ball, and rather than just settling for that 3-point shot, he kind of hesies for a second. Defenders coming at him and he just boom, like gone towards the rim. And he's looking more fluid on his drives. Like KJ Martin drives used to look, I'm going to be completely upfront, pretty ugly. Like, I mean, he would like dribble the basketball, like up near his chest, like not like, I mean, not quite like out of control, but just like, he's basically like power dribbling, like towards the rim, like right hand only, like just doesn't look great or hasn't looked great historically. But over these last few games, he's had some drives. Like he had that baseline drive against the Grizzlies. He had the drive in this one where he went up and like finger rolled it over Bam, I think it was, you know, and got the and one. And those drives, like for him to look that comfortable, you know, attacking the basket, we know that when KJ Martin gets the ball like within 5 feet of the rim, like it's going to turn into probably a dunk, or it's going to turn into, you know, at least a foul, or he's going to try and put it up somewhere in and around the rim. He's great at finishing. He's got great touch around the rim with both of his hands, but to see him be able to create his own offense like that, driving in and finishing through contact, that's kind of the next step, I feel like, in KJ Martin's game. Clearly he's got to work on getting the shooting consistent. The shooting numbers have been better post All-Star break for KJ Martin. That's been a very welcome surprise, but for him to be able to create his own offense like that, rather than just being, you know, a lob threat in the pick and roll, or somebody who's just going to clean up with offensive rebounds around the rim, that's going to be a big step in his game, to be able to be somebody who can attack off the bounce on the perimeter when the ball swings his way, especially if he can drive in baseline, that those kinds of things. So loved that, like that moment and those couple drives from KJ Martin. Loved seeing that out of him in this game. He also had one. I was talking about KPJ's facilitating earlier, and there was one play earlier. It was the only clip that I pulled from the first half of this game where KPJ drove it in going towards the left baseline, coming off the wing, and KPJ drew 3 Miami Heat defenders and was able to jump, elevate, and then still get the ball to KJ Martin. Very nifty little bounce pass right under the rim after drawing in all of the attention of the Heat defense. KJ went up with it, tried to, you know, slam it home, you know, was fouled, got to the free throw line. But so it wasn't for lack of trying from Kevin Porter Jr. He just wasn't, you know, nobody converted on some of the good attempts, good passes that he was creating, unfortunately, in this one. But, you know, continuing to see that development from KPJ is good as well, right? The playmaking, you know, realizing that he's utilizing his scoring gravity to leverage, you know, easy opportunities for his teammates. That's when KPJ is at his best. So Josh, Christopher, and Dacian Nix here, the last couple guys I want to talk about Dacian Nix first. And just because it's pretty quick with him, Dacian, 23 minutes, 7 points, had 4 assists, had a steal, played some solid defense on Jimmy Butler. He's got that like big, like, you know, stocky NBA frame ready body. So he's not going to get abused by other, you know, bigger players. Like, you know, we've seen Jalen Green or KPJ situationally get abused just because they're a bit more lean in stature. But Dejan Nix is like a legit NBA point guard. He, you know, looks calm, comfortable with the ball in his hands. He's, you know, creating good offense for other guys. The passing was crisp. My biggest thing is just, you know, some of the awareness that he has. You know, like there were multiple opportunities where he, you know, was driving the ball like in transition and he could have like hit somebody for, you know, a slashing bucket in transition or like a three. And sometimes, you know, there was one drive where he just took it himself, like straight into the rim. I think he got charged for got called for a charge. There we go. Charged for a charge works too. It's just kind of redundant. Anyways, so that's one of those things where it's just gonna take time and reps for him to learn. I still think there's benefit to him continuing to get those reps at the G League level rather than getting, you know, just 10, 15 minutes a night here with the Rockets, because when Dennis Schroeder's back, when EG is back in the lineup, I know a lot of Rockets fans were excited to see those guys not playing so that the Rockets could continue to just focus on getting the young guys as many reps as possible. But I do think, right, like, you know, going back to like the Al P thing, right, Dennis Schroeder has done an incredible job in the minutes that he's on the floor of recognizing and getting the ball to Alper and Şengün, especially when he's, you know, sealed his man off on the low block. Eric Gordon does a good job of just playing defense and realizing where he's at, you know, in the game, kind of getting some, you know, stringing together some buckets here and there for the Rockets to kind of keep things afloat. And having that veteran presence on the floor is good for this Rockets team, right? I don't want to just see those guys put on ice for the rest of the season, unfortunately, because as fun and as exhilarating as it can be for stretches to see these young guys out there just doing their thing, flying around, having the steadying hand of those vets is important. It's crucial. I want to see those guys healthy and get them back into the rotation before the tail end of the season. But with Dejan Nix, it was good to see him get some non-garbage time minutes and to really see him kind of prove himself in this, you know, in this game against the Heat. And Rockets really have a gem with him, right? Let him keep growing in the G League. Let him keep getting those significant reps down there. He's ready for the NBA though. Like I'm not saying he's not ready to be, you know, he could play, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes a night and be a productive player. He absolutely could, but the Rockets have plenty of other guys in the rotation, and Dejan is better served, I think, at this point, getting the 30, 35 plus a night at the G League rather than being buried on the Rockets bench and not getting as many reps, as many touches to continue perfecting and molding his game so that he can be ready for next season with this Houston Rockets team. Last guy here, Josh Christopher, who it was really great to see him break out of his shooting slump. He hadn't hit a single three since the All-Star break. And even before that, the numbers were not great. So to see him drain his like back-to-back threes in this one was nice. Went 3 of 6 on the game, 6 of 11 overall, you know, had a couple transition buckets in there, had a few rebounds, had a few assists, had a steal, had a couple blocks on the way to 16 points. Like just, it was nice to see Josh Christopher have another Josh Christopher-esque performance, because we haven't really seen one of these out of him in a while. And maybe it's because he kind of lost his spot in the rotation to Dennis Schroeder a little bit when the trade first happened, and he got bumped a little bit further down the totem pole and wasn't getting the consistent regular minutes. Maybe Josh Christopher is a little bit better with the ball in his hands, where he can just kind of take the ball and create for himself, get out in transition rather than slotting back over into his natural like off ball two guard role. Again, you know, I view Josh as very much like a combo guard, and I think the Rockets view him as such as well. And he views himself as a combo guard as well. But, you know, the idea was when Dennis Schroeder was first being brought over, and even Josh Christopher spoke about this himself, you know, moving back over into that traditional kind of combo guard, two guard role. Cause at the end of the day, Josh Christopher isn't a point guard, but he is capable with the ball in his hands. And so I think that's kind of the rough distinction that, you know, you have to look at with Josh Christopher, and with also, hey, with Jalen Green too, right? Jalen Green's not a point guard, but he's good and competent and comfortable with the ball in his hands for stretches of the game. And so how do you balance that, right? How do you balance having a guy who can create for himself and at times can create for others versus needing to have another, you know, true point guard on the floor, a Dennis Schroeder, a Dejan Nix to kind of complement said player? And then how do those two guys coexist on the floor to where you're not just running everything through whoever the quote unquote point guard is, and the two guard, Jalen, Josh, whoever it is, gets adequate reps where they can attack the defense, they can get in their triple threat, they can kind of, you know, get their rhythm going, get into kind of a lullaby dribble and kind of attack defenses that way. It's important to find a happy medium there. And I think that's what a lot of these Rockets players are still searching for, still trying to figure out, is how do they have a happy medium sharing the ball on the floor with one another at times, because sometimes we see it swing a little bit too far, right? And like one or two players get completely iced out of the game, or we see it swing completely the other direction where everybody's got like equivalent shot opportunities down the entire stat sheet. And you're like, well, that's not ideal either, because there needs to be a bit of a hierarchy. There needs to be, you know, a focus on letting Jalen and KPJ kind of steer things and have those guys be the 1-2 punch to lead the way for the Rockets, that kind of thing. But it was good to see Josh Christopher kind of come back into this one and have himself a solid game. Hopefully the trend continues. Maybe it was just a little shooting slump that he was in. I hope it sticks around, because Josh Christopher, when he is productive and scoring off the bench, that's when he's at his best. He looks really good doing it. It's a reason Rockets fans fell in love with him this season. And it's good to see him, you know, it's good to see Jacob kind of back in action in this one against the Heat, even though the Rockets didn't ultimately get the win. But with that, that's going to do it for today's episode. As always, appreciate you for checking out the show. If you haven't done so yet, please consider subscribing wherever you listen to your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Google, brand new Odyssey app, free and available on all platforms. Also, be sure to check out the show on YouTube. Go to YouTube, search Locked On Rockets, like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. I did have one anecdote to throw in here, because this was actually announced right before the Rockets game, but apparently Christian Wood recently rented out like an entire theater for the Rockets to go watch the new Batman movie, which is like super cool of him. And, you know, we can have our gripes, you know, about C. Wood and what's, you know, happening, how he's playing on the court, whether he's, you know, icing guys out of possessions, whether he's playing for his numbers or playing more of a team oriented game, like we saw out of him his best career game, I think, against the Memphis Grizzlies. Overall, I do think he is a good teammate. Like Christian Wood, Jalen Green, KPJ, they all do like really like each other. They enjoy each other's company. They vibe well with one another, like all of that. And to see Christian Wood like kind of go out of his way to do something nice like that for his teammates, like that's a really cool gesture, right? No, you know, you don't have to do those kinds of things. So shout out C. Wood for taking care of his teammates. Hopefully they had a good time. Hopefully they enjoyed the Batman. It was a damn good movie. I enjoyed it. I think Pattinson is here to stay. Robert Pattinson killed it as Batman. If you haven't seen the movie, go check it out. But with that, that's going to be it for today's episode. As always, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. We look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.